through Five Finger Rapids in almost darkness the other night. So I'm very confident in his abilities.
Skagway residents band together to paddle more than 400 miles down the Yukon River. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Fishing is obviously important to the economy of Alaska. Commercial fishing provides one of the top exports from the state, and industry provides the majority of jobs in many parts of Alaska. But it's a less obvious fishing season, the subsistence fishery, that illustrates just how important fishing is to Alaska's households.
Yeah, it's something that makes the state unique.
Randy Bachman of Fish and Game, based in Haines, knows subsistence fishermen are out on the waters of Haines, Clackawan, and Skagway. The subsistence permit is available through the department, which manages the fishery that allows residents of Alaska to take fish and shellfish with gill nets, seine, fish wheels, long lines, and other means, depending on local regulations. In the Upper Lynn Canal, reports so far from the beginning of the season call it slow, but that isn't stopping the area's subsistence users, who rely on the privilege as a major food source.
It's a big part of our Haines life.
Burl Sheldon, who used to live in Petersburg, Juneau, Bristol Bay, and Skagway, but now lives in Haines, is one of them.
We go out for sockeyes in saltwater, and we've already been out and been successful.
He started fishing in Alaska's commercial industry in the 1970s.
I first came up here in 78 and worked in the Petersburg cold storage and was a deckhand on board purse seiners for some seasons, and then later on fished in Bristol Bay.
But he made the move into subsistence fishing in the mid-1990s when he settled in Haines. His family now shares the use of a boat, net, and motor with two other families nearby.
My wife and I put up about 40 fish a year, and those fish are mostly just eaten by us, you know, take it to a potluck or something like that, barbecue it, whatever.
The saltwater subsistence season opens the weekend before any of the commercial gillnet salmon seasons in Southeast, and about five or six boats were spotted right out of the gate in Haines waters. The Sheldons have already been out. They do some canning and sometimes even smoke some of their catch. Sheldon says they work to make sure none of the fish they bring in is going to go to waste. An ethic he and authorities like Bachman don't always see from fishermen.
I think perhaps the simplest and it's often done probably mostly in a careless manner. It deals with what frankly is wanton waste, where people have fish that's put up, it's in the freezer, it's perfectly good fish, either in a vacuum bag or frozen whole or whatever. And they're not using it in a timely manner, and then they're going out and catching more. That is not something I endorse.
Read the stipulations on the permit. It kind of lines everything out, you know, and we're asking people to release the large spawning king salmon because the Chilkat River run is a small run, and those large kings are usually pretty easy to shake out of the net. Most people are on their nets anyway.
Sheldon calls his modest boat a fairly low investment, and they like how they can feed themselves from nearby waters instead of relying fully on barged-in meats from down south.
The fact that we can get this important part of our diet and this very healthy food is just very important to my wife and I. I'm thinking ahead and looking at the tide book and seeing what's going to happen, and it's just a great, great aspect of living in Haines.
You can find the subsistence fishing regulations for our area if you go to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game website at adfg.alaska.gov and click on the fishing tab. Five Skagway residents, complemented by two Juneau dwellers and a former Skagwegian in from Kenai, are assembling on the banks of the Yukon River Wednesday morning to hit the river as Skagnificent. It's not a bird, it's not a plane, and it's not even a high-speed supersonic jet boat of some kind. It's an 8-person paddling team racing in the 13th annual Yukon River Quest, the epic race to the midnight sun that requires paddlers to human power their crafts close to 500 miles through the night. Skagway News' Jeff Brady is a co-founder of the event. He's jumping back in the boat this year after standing on the shores for years of the quest.
I've only paddled it twice. I did it the very first year in 1999, the first year that it was Whitehorse to Dawson. Mm-hmm. And I did it with my wife, and we set the record for the slowest time ever. And we were still kind of honeymooning then.
Brady entered again years later with his daughter Annie when she turned 15.
which is the age where you can do the River Quest. We trained and got third in the mixed division.
Brady's on the water again 1 year after the race saw a record number of scratches.
But that was last year. This year's going to be great.
This time, he's racing with what's called a Voyager team with eight people in one 29-foot Clipper Langley.
All under the banner Team Skagnificent. So we have Eric Nelson from Juno, and then behind him is Bruce Schindler from Skagway as well. He's very accomplished and a very strong paddler. Then I'm in the third seat, and then my daughter is right behind me, Annie. And then we're going to have Molly Dishner.
Dishner, a former Skagway News intern who now lives in Kenai, competed in a tandem category a few years ago.
And then we'll have Denise Composi from Skagway, who's tried the race as a solo kayaker before and didn't finish, so she's very anxious to finish this time around. She's looking strong. And then we have Mike Healy, who is... always wanted to just do the race, and we finally talked him into it. And in the back doing the steering will be Dave Sevdy, a friend of ours from Juneau. He took us through Five Finger Rapids in almost darkness the other night, so I'm very confident in his abilities.
They'll be sharing the river with 72 other teams this year, including solo canoeists and kayakers, tandem canoeists and kayakers, and other eight-person teams. Back this year are the Texans, who have a winning streak that goes back quite a few years.
They won it last year, 42 hours. We don't have a prayer of competing with them.
But Skagnificent is actually looking pretty competitive, it turns out.
I feel really good about us. I mean, we did an overnight 96-mile paddle last weekend from Little Salmon to Minto in under 11 hours. We were averaging better than 9 miles an hour, and that's competitive. So I was like, what's up with you guys, you know? It looks like we're semi-serious here. I guess we might have to prove something after all.
The race starts at high noon on Wednesday, June 29th, where paddlers run to their canoes and kayaks, the first test of the 460-mile river race from Whitehorse to Dawson City, with who knows what in between.
We know we can do the rapids. We got that chink on our belt already. So, but the big test is always Lake LaBarge, because it can, and it's 30 miles into the race, it can throw just about anything at you, weather-wise, wind, rain, whatever. We're just, you know, we have a good stretch of weather going right now. I just hope it doesn't play out by next Wednesday. But, you know, you have to be ready for anything.
How do you paddle more than 400 miles straight without losing your marbles, you might ask? Two mandatory checkpoints do help. They require paddlers to stay for 7 hours each. From the first one, refreshed racers take on Five Finger Rapids, another rest stop, and the final 100 miles. The Mostly Skagway team hopes to finish the race in less than 55 hours and place among the 11 teams in their category. The home team is paddling in the Voyager category, and results will be on KHNS after Independence Day. In the meantime, if you can't cheer them on live, you can follow Skagnificent on Facebook if you look up Yukon River Quest. Back by popular demand, a special feature that digs up old news stories from your local news archives. It'll run as a segment of the local newscast during the membership drive, June 24th through July 1st.
Tlingit tribal members at the native village of Klukwan celebrated a long-term goal over the weekend with the dedication of its new gymnasium and basketball court. Klukwan Village Tribal Administrator John Brower said Saturday's celebration marked an important milestone.
Well, the gym is like a renewal thing because not many villages in Alaska don't have a gym. Basketball is a big thing in native villages, and this was a thing that the community wanted. It's all community-driven, and the community tells us what to do, and we do it.
The road to actual use of the gym was longer than Brower had envisioned. Unexpected delays caused the postponement of its opening by nearly a year. Now that work is nearly finished, Brower says an important goal has been achieved. Completion of the new gym is symbolic of the internal changes that members of the community are going through. The village council has been working on a strategic development plan since 2002. Part of that plan included construction of the gymnasium to bring the sport of basketball back to the village.
We're all about wellness and healing, and this village has taken that quite seriously, and They're going back to just who they really are and what's their spirits inside their bodies. And this is all part of it. Basketball is a major part of things in a Native village. And so this is going to do a major part of that renewal, that spiritual uplifting that they need and that they want to do.
For 27 years, the village has sponsored the Dick Hotch Memorial Basketball Tournament in Haines, 20 miles away. The 2009 tournament will be held in Clocquan.
And to bring the Dick Hotch tournament home here in February, that's a huge event. We no longer have to, you know, that's Clocquan's tournament. And we've always had to do it outside. Now we'll be able to do it here. And that's going to be a great, great day when we open the doors for that tournament.
Other construction and planning efforts are underway.
You know, we put out the construction bid for document for the hospitality house, and next spring and for the next 11 months after that, we'll be building the hospitality house, which is like a combination gift shop, restaurant for the traditional knowledge camp and the Jilkatquan Cultural Heritage Center. And then hopefully within 3 years, we'll be opening up the Heritage Center building itself. So we'll have the whole complex of the site, the Jilkatquan Cultural Heritage Center, completed and opening for the year 2011 or by 2012. And that's going to be a big thing for the village.
That was News from Your Past, a special feature running only during the membership drive. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.